with you here at Lakeshore, and I just want to say a huge thank you to Derek for all the work that he does to get guys from here in North Bay to come down to the conference in Toronto. We appreciate Derek and all of his leadership and all of his service and belief in the men here. I just want to ask you to show your appreciation. Let me just pray as we begin to open up God's word. Father, thank you for the truth that you are already with us and always with us. And Father, as we open up your word now, I recognize that I am certainly not fully capable on my own of being able to speak the words that are in it. So I ask that you would fill me with your spirit and that you, Holy Spirit, would come and be our teacher during this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as Derek already said, my name is Kirk Giles, and yes, I was named after Captain Kirk. Do we have any Trekkies in the room? Anybody? Any Star Trek? Okay, well, to make matters even worse, my middle name is James, and so, my dad was a little sick and twisted and loved Star Trek too much, and so my name is Kirk James Giles, and it is good to be here. Now, some of my favorite lines, Star Trek has some great lines in it. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but there are some lines that have gone on through generations from Star Trek. For example, there's one Captain Kirk will always say, "Beam me up, Scotty," which, you know, I drive in Toronto traffic every day, and the idea of beam me up from my house to my office seems like a great idea. And so I would love that kind of technology today. Or there's this one. You ever seen anybody do this before, right? There you go. Live long and prosper, right? I learned something this week. That is actually a Jewish blessing. It comes from Moses and a blessing that God gave to Moses to give to the nation of Israel back in the Old Testament. Leonard Nimoy, who was the original Spock, comes from a Jewish heritage, and he brought this to Star Trek. So there you go. If you learn nothing else today, you've learned live long and prosper comes from the Bible. And then there's another phrase that Captain Kirk would often use, and that is this. He would say, "Shields up." Every time that they were under attack on the Enterprise, he would always say, "Shields up." There's one scene in one of the shows where the Enterprise is preparing for a fight against the Klingons, and Captain Kirk says, "Shields up. We're going in. Peacefully, I hope. But peacefully or not, we're going in." Shields up. Have you ever thought about how important safety is to us in our culture? How much time we think about safety in the world in which we live in? I do a lot of flying across the country, and if you've spent any time trying to get onto an airplane these days, you recognize how obsessed our culture can be with safety and protection. And just the number of steps that you have to go through to get on an airplane. If you have a newborn child, and putting your newborn child into your car these days, it's like having to lock them into a fighter jet because you have to put so many things on them because we're so concerned about their safety as they go in. And even in our prayers, think about how many times you pray, "God, please protect us. Please give us safety as we travel or as we go through whatever we're going through." We constantly come to this prayer of praying for safety in our lives. If you have your Bible, I want to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to read to you, beginning at verse 10. I was praying and asking the Lord what to share with you this week, and he brought me back to this passage of Scripture, and I want to read to you from a translation that I use for my personal studies. It's called the English Standard Version, but you can follow along in any translation. You'll be able to follow along just fine. Beginning at verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Let me just stop right there for 1 second, and I'll come back to this. Whatever it is that you are going through today, the problem is not what you think the problem is most of the time. Whatever it is that you are going through today, there is a battle happening that you cannot visibly see. It is a spiritual battle for your heart, for your mind, for your body, for your soul. There is a spiritual battle that is going on. So if you are having conflict in your marriage, it is not about your spouse. It is about another enemy that is out to destroy your marriage. You're having conflict with your children. It's not about your children. They are not the enemy. They might feel like the enemy some days, but they are not the enemy. There is a real enemy who is out to destroy you and your family. And that is what this verse is trying to say. And too often we get our eyes focused on the physical instead of understanding that there is a spiritual war that is going on in all of these circumstances. All right, let's keep reading. Ephesians chapter 6, continuing on, it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." I just want to camp on verse 16 today, where it says, in all circumstances. The NIV says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. But in other translations, it'll use the phrase, in every situation or in all circumstances that you are going through, take up the shield of faith. Have you ever thought, when you're watching a show like Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever like that, have you ever wondered to yourself, why do they wait until they're already taking fire before they put up the shield that they already have? It's like, you know, we're in the middle of a war. Oh, maybe we should put up the shield that we've got already. Why don't they take up the shield all the time? Why don't they just keep it up? And I think that's the same reality for our lives. We sometimes wait until we're going through a tough circumstance and they're like, oh God, please help me out of this circumstance. And what the Bible is teaching us here is in every situation, in every circumstance, in every moment of your life and your day, we are called, we are challenged, we are invited to take up this thing called the shield of faith. So why don't we use it in every situation? Well, I believe that we don't use the shield of faith in every situation either because we don't know what it is that we're talking about, or that we believe there's other shields that could do a better job protecting us. So this morning, I want to do two things. I want to, first of all, start by identifying some shields that we tend to use in our lives. And then I want to talk about how we can use the shield of faith in our lives, what that looks like for us. So first of all, what are some of the shields that we use in our own lives? First of all, there are people who don't use any shield in their life. They're like, I'm strong enough. I don't need anything to protect me. I can do this on my own. I don't need anyone or anything. I got this. Which is all a great idea until it's not a great idea. Right? Until something starts to happen where life starts to fall apart. Imagine a soldier running into the middle of a battlefield with absolutely no armor on. That's what it's like trying to live life without using the shield of faith. That's what it's like without trying to use any shield in life. It's like you're going through life and you're like, I got this. Except the problem is when you don't have any protection, you're easy pickings. We see this most often today. A lot of times we see this with people who have real high positions of power, who think, I am so powerful, nothing can touch me. But yet, we see time after time after time that that kind of pride ultimately ends in their destruction because they haven't bothered with any kind of shield. A second kind of shield we use is the shield of control. The shield of control says, I'm not going to allow myself to get hurt. So I'm going to protect myself from getting hurt by somebody else. This comes out honestly. Now, okay, I don't want any of you elbowing your spouse right now, all right? There is a shield of control, and this comes out in almost all of us to some degree. Almost all of us love to have some level of control over our lives. Even if that means having to protect parts of ourselves off from other people. sometimes that control that we have is because we've been hurt by other people. And so we put up a wall, we put up a barrier that says, I'm never going to allow someone to hurt me again. I have family who, when I was a little child, we all went to church, and then all of a sudden there was this big fight in our church, and the church split. And I have members of my family who to this day, almost 40 years later, have never darkened the doorway of a church again. Why? Because I will not allow myself to get hurt by Christians again. They've put up a shield of control over their life. I won't allow that to happen. And many of you probably have been hurt by people in some way, shape, or form. And so there's a part of you that goes, I'm not going to allow myself to get hurt again by somebody. And so you put up this shield of control. It's safer this way, we convince ourselves. A third type of shield that we can have is the shield of image. The shield of image, this idea of, I can't let people see the real me. Now, I'm not sure what it's like here, but in most churches that I've been to across the country, the average Sunday morning looks something like this. We walk in, everybody shakes hands with each other, and we ask each other a question. Hey, how you doing? And then there is an answer. Fine or good? Right? Imagine if you walked into church on a Sunday morning and you said, hey, how you doing? And they said, I am doing horrible. My wife and I just had a huge fight all the way to church. The kids are misbehaving. My kid was throwing up all night last night. Didn't sleep at all. I got fired from my job this week. And oh my goodness, it's just horrible. Right? We'd be like, too much information. Don't want to know all that. There is a part of us that when we are in certain environments, whether it's at our jobs or in our churches or when we're with friends or wherever we might be, there is a part of us as human beings that feels the need to put on an image of ourselves to other people. That we don't want people to see the real me, because if they saw a glimpse of who I really am, they may not like me. They may not want to be around me. They might think, what a hypocrite. Who does that guy think he is being like that? They might judge me. Whatever it is, we have all kinds of fears and all kinds of reasons, but we put on an image so that other people can be kept at a safe distance from us. And that happens all over the place. There's a fourth type of shield that we use. It's called the shield of success. If I just make enough money, I'll be safe. I know so many people where this is the driving factor in their life. If we just had a larger house, if we just had a better car, if we just had more money in our bank account, we'd be safe. We'd be able to handle any problems that life comes and brings at us. And that's a really nice idea until you lose your job, until your house starts to fall apart, and all of a sudden those things start to be taken away from you. And this shield of success has its limitations to it. I believe with all my heart that in this room and even in my own life, there are times where I choose to not, in every circumstance, pick up the shield of faith, but I take up one of these false shields that we've just talked about. I take up one of these shields and I go, I believe that this shield can do a better job of protecting me than the shield of faith can do of protecting me. So what is the shield of faith? Well, in verse 16, when we are reading here, it says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Now, flaming darts of the evil one, that is not something that most of us kind of see visually in our lives every day. I don't know the last time someone shot an arrow at you that had fire on the end of it, but that is not something that most of us can wrap our heads around. What does that look like? Maybe if you've seen a movie where someone's shooting arrows with fire on the end of it, you can get a bit of an idea of what that might be like. But let me explain to you why Paul is using this language. He's using it as an illustration because the Romans, the people of the day who were living under Roman rule, would understand exactly what it is that Paul's trying to describe here. They see it, they experience it in their life. And so the flaming arrows, here's what would happen with a flaming arrow. The archers who were in battle would take arrows, they would put some material on the end of an arrow, like cotton or something like that, and they would soak it in pitch. And then what they would do is, just before they were about to launch this arrow, they would light it on fire, so that when the arrow came and it hit you, it didn't just hit you, but the pitch actually splattered over your body, and so there were a whole bunch of small fires that would start all over your body. So even if you managed to protect a portion of the arrow from hitting you, the pitch splattering onto your body would still start other fires on your body. So it wasn't just about pinpoint accuracy, it was about inflicting as much damage as possible with the arrow. And that's the same description that Paul's using to talk about the attacks that come at us from Satan. That sometimes what we think is where he's attacking, what he's really after is for that kind of other effect, the splattering effect into other places of your life. Let me give you an example of that, what that looks like. You have a bad day at work, you come home from work, and you start taking it out on your spouse. Nobody's ever done that before, right? Right? So you come home from work, you start taking it out on your spouse, right? You think that your spouse is the issue because they did this or didn't do that, but in reality, it's the domino effect of Satan creating this environment at work that created a bad day, and it's the splattering effect into other areas of your life. And you've got to be able to understand that that is the enemy's plan toward you. It's not just about a specific target, it's about how he can get that to domino into other places into your life. That's the idea of the fiery arrows here. And there is only one way to defend against these flaming darts, but not just defend against them, but ultimately to destroy them when you were in battle during that time. All other shields would not fully protect us, but there's one shield that was made for the Roman soldiers that would protect them from these fiery darts that are coming at them. This shield would fully cover their body. There was no part of their body that was left exposed when they would use this shield. On the outside of the shield, it was covered with metal, and sometimes it was also built out of a big, thick plank of wood. Sometimes it even was covered with leather. And what they would do is they would put water on these things so that when the darts, fiery darts came, it would actually extinguish the fiery dart right away, and it would just kind of blow off. And that's the picture that Paul's trying to give to people, is you need to use this shield of faith, because it's going to be like that shield that the Roman soldiers would use, where it would literally just repel the fiery darts that are coming against you. This is what the people of the day could picture as a shield. It was a shield that they knew they could count on, that it was better than any other shield that anybody else could come up with. Our shield is God himself. That's what is meant by the shield of faith. God himself is our shield. In Psalm chapter 5, I want to just read Psalm 5 verse 12. Listen to this. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Now, some of you might go, I don't feel very righteous. You don't have to feel righteous to be righteous. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are the righteousness of God, according to God's word. And that means that God is your shield. So I want to quickly, in the time that we have left, give you five ways to use this shield of faith in your life. Five ways to use the shield of faith in your everyday life. First of all, I choose to trust you, God, even when life is hard. I choose to trust you, God, even when life is hard. God is always present. His promises will always be true. He is more powerful than anything your mind can imagine of what power is. He is infinitely more powerful than that. When we live with the idea of I choose to trust you even when life is hard, we are saying I will not allow worry and fear to consume me. yes, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell God how big my problems are. But I'm also going to tell my problems how big my God is. That's saying, I trust you, Lord. I think that there is something powerful in our lives about saying out loud, I trust you. Not just thinking it, but actually saying the words, I trust you. If you're going through something today, a difficult time, and life is hard right now, I challenge you in your prayers, when you're crying out to God and you're saying, God, help me. God, rescue me from this. I challenge you to also say, God, I trust you. I trust you. That's using the shield of faith, to say, I trust you even when life is hard, to believe that he is bigger than your problems. A second way that you can use the shield of faith is to say, I choose to believe you even when I want to believe a different story. I believe that one of the biggest ways that Satan's attacking people today is by confusing us about who we really are as people. We hear so many different messages coming from media, from friends, from politicians, from workers, employers. Some of us grew up with parents who told us that we are nothing and useless and worthless. We've heard so many messages in our life about who we are. And all of us, every person in this room, every person on the face of the planet, chooses to believe a story about themselves. We all choose to believe a story about who we are. And that story has been shaped by a whole bunch of different factors in life. But today, to take up the shield of faith means that I choose to believe God's story about who I am. That what other people have said or what other circumstances have said are not what are going to define me. I choose today to believe who God says I am. And yes, I was a sinner. But I've been saved by the grace of God, and because I've been saved by the grace of God, I am his child. And I can rest in that reality. It is who I am. You were dead in your trespasses, but now you are alive to Jesus Christ. You are a new creation. Old things are passed away. I don't know how long you've thought about passed away before, but passed away doesn't mean they're still here. Passed away means they're gone. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And so to take up the shield of faith is to say, I choose to believe your story about my life, God. Even when I want to believe a different story. The third way to take up the shield of faith is to say, I choose to obey you because I know that you're for me. I choose to obey you because I know you're for me. This deals with our temptations in life. At the heart of every temptation you will ever face is this question. Do you really believe that God wants what's best for you? That's at the heart of every single temptation. Do you really trust that God wants what's best for you? What Satan is trying to do to you in every temptation is not just get you to sin, he's trying to get you to doubt that God actually loves you. That's the heart of it. And so while he's trying to get you to doubt that, you're in this place of conflict on the inside, and it's this question of, do I really believe you want what's best for me, God? And that goes not just in terms of temptations where Satan tempts you to do something and you go, okay, I'm not going to do what Satan tempts me to do. It also goes into situations where you need to be taking action, but Satan's tempting you going, no, maybe you shouldn't do that. So this morning, you were challenged as a church to fast and pray for your pastor this week. Right? And for some of you, as you hear that kind of a challenge, what you're going to be confronted with over the course of this week is not just distractions, but you're going to have little messages that are going to go on in your head that are going to say things like, well, you know, you're too busy for that. Or, you're really hungry right now, and you probably shouldn't skip this meal because it wouldn't be good for your health to skip this meal. You're going to have all kinds of little messages that are going to kind of go on in your head. To be obedient to God is to say, I'm going to ignore those messages, and I'm going to do what God told me to do. To take up the shield of faith says, I'm going to say no to the temptation because I believe God wants what's best for me. I choose to obey you. I want you to think about not just avoiding sin, but I want you to think about going and being obedient to what God tells you to go and do. Think about Mary and Joseph for a minute. She's pregnant, about to give birth to a baby. Let's have a ride on a camel to Bethlehem. That sounds like, or donkey to Bethlehem. That sounds like a great idea. 160 kilometers for a pregnant woman riding on the back of a donkey. Brilliant plan. Right? Why did they do it? Because God told them. It was already determined that that is where the baby had to be born. But then Jesus, a little toddler. I don't know how many of you have toddlers right now, but Jesus, a little toddler, and God comes to Joseph and says, hey, I have another great idea. You need to, like, pick up and walk to Egypt because they're going to come to try to kill your baby. So there's another 160 kilometers or so walking with a toddler. What could possibly go wrong just going for a stroll with a toddler for 160 kilometers? Right? But God said, go. So they went. Why? Because they trusted God had their best interests at heart. And for some of you today, God's telling you to go and do something. There's something that's been in your heart and your mind that you need to be going and doing in your life. And there's been battles inside of you saying, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm afraid to do it. But you know God's been calling you to do it. And to take up the shield of faith is to say, I believe that God has my best interest at heart. That's taking up the shield of faith. Fourth way to take up the shield of faith is I choose to surround myself with other Christians because we are stronger together. I need 9 volunteers. I need 9 people to come up here quickly. 9 people. Come on. Don't. All right. We're getting there. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I need 3 more. I need guys. Where are all the guys? Come on, men. 3 more men. All right, there we go. Okay, you're all lined up there. So this is a picture of what we often think about when we watch war movies, right? Old-fashioned war movies. We're all going to line up in a straight line, and we're going to kind of go after the enemy, right? But when they are talking about the shield of faith, in the day that Paul wrote this, there is a Roman army that is existing, and there were strategies in which the Roman army would operate under. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to figure out a way between you to do 3 rows of 3. Okay, right now, get lined up in 3 rows of 3. Pretend like you like each other. You can get in a little bit closer. 3 rows of 3. Okay, we're almost there. We got like 1 row of 4. All right, we got 3 rows of 3. So here's what happens in Roman soldiers in terms of their strategy for battle. This is called a tortoise formation. I'm going to put a picture up on the screen. If you're in this line, you want to turn around and look. This is a picture of what it would look like. And so what would happen is when they were going into a battle, if they were going in to attack a city where there was walls that were higher than them, there would always be these flaming darts coming down from the walls onto them. So the way that they protected themselves was to get into this formation to be able to have shields above them, in front of them, beside them, to be able to protect the entire group as they were going into battle together. This is a picture that Paul is trying to give to us about the importance of being together in the spiritual battles that we are facing. Just stay here because I'm going to use you guys again as props, okay? Just stay here for a second. Here's what I want to say to you. To use the shield of faith is to surround yourself with other Christians because we are stronger together. We live in a world that's saying to you, you don't need to go to church. That is a lie of the devil. Seriously. This picture that you just had in front of you is a picture of what it means for us to be the body of Christ together. That when we come together, we are able to work together to protect each other from the fiery darts of the devil. When we come together, we are to bear one another's burdens, and we're protecting each other by bearing each other's burdens. When we come together, we can, in freedom, because we already all know we're all messed up. That's what brings us to call. That's what we have in common as Christians. I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I don't need to put on a show anymore, so I can confess my sins to one another, and we can pray for each other and be healed, as James says. When we all exercise the shield of faith together, there's no need to put on an image anymore, because we already know that we need Jesus, and he's the shield that bonds us together. Here's the fifth way that we can put on the shield. Final way. I choose to build your kingdom with other Christians because we're the body of Christ. So here's what I want you to do. I want one person standing right at the very front. And then I want two people in the next behind them, to almost like to on an angle. And then I want more of an angle. Keep going on an angle. There you go. All right, good enough. Stay there. You can turn around and look at the next picture here for a second. This was another strategy of the Roman army. When they were going into battle as Roman soldiers, one of their strategies to defeat the enemy was to create this wedge-like formation. And they would all put up their shields, and the wedge formation would literally be, they would go running together as a group, and they would drive a wedge into the work of the enemy. They would literally move to work forward together. So they weren't in a straight line so the enemy could come after them. They were like an arrow piercing into the heart of the enemy, except they were human beings pushing in together. Thank you very much for your, let's hear it for these. Here's what I want you to understand, that as God's people putting on the shield of faith, it is all about choosing to build his kingdom with other Christians because we are the body of Christ. You can't defeat the enemy on your own. You can't be light into the world on your own. It is us together going into the darkness of this world to bring light. That is what it means to take the shield of faith together and to enter into the darkness and drive a wedge into the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. That is what it means to be the church. That is what God has called us to. Over the last month, God's been teaching me something on a personal level. My view of God is far too often too small. I have seen God do some things in the last month that, in all honesty, I had given up believing that he was actually going to answer certain prayers. And I've watched him break through, and time again, he's saying to me, Kirk, when will you have a view that I'm bigger than you can imagine? When will you start to believe that I'm capable of doing more than you can dare ask or imagine? Stop having such a small view of God. My faith is not always strong, if I were to be honest with you. My wife's here today, and she can testify to that reality. My faith is not always strong. There are lots of times where I can doubt if God is really there. There are plenty of times where I lean towards fearing the worst, and I focus on all that's going wrong. But here's what I've discovered. My weakness in faith doesn't change how strong the shield of faith is. The shield is always strong. It's up to me to take up the shield and use it to protect me. There's a story told in the book of Mark of a dad who had a son with epilepsy. And the father comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus, I love Jesus' response, he says, if I can do anything? And then Jesus says, everything is possible for the one who believes. And then the dad says something really profound. He says, I do believe, but please help my unbelief. And maybe you find yourself in the same boat today. Maybe you do believe, but you know that there's parts of you that struggles with unbelief. You have doubts. You use false shields instead of the only shield that can protect you, the shield of faith. Here's the good news today. God is not surprised or threatened by your doubts and your fears. He's not sitting up there and going, oh no, Kirk is doubting. Instead, he offers grace and says, I'm here to help. That's what this prayer from this father to Jesus is when he says, I believe, but help my unbelief. And today, I believe that for some in this room, we have either been chasing false shields, or maybe we have little to no faith at all right now. We're tired and we're ready to give up. And I just want to invite you to pray that same prayer that father prayed to Jesus. Because the only way that you can pick up this shield of faith is not going to be in your own strength. It's going to be by going to God himself and saying, help my unbelief. Help me to take this shield in my life. And be honest with him in that kind of prayer. I want to ask you just to close your eyes for a moment. I just want to ask today, is there anyone in this room who would just say, yeah, I recognize that. I know I need to take up the shield of faith, but there's just so many things in my life where I doubt God. And so God, today I'm crying out to you and saying, God, I believe, but help my unbelief today. If you're in that spot where you say, I do believe, but God, help my unbelief. Just raise your hand right where you are today. All over the room. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe you're in a place today where you recognize yourself in some of these other shields, some of these false shields that you've been picking up in life. And you say, today, God, I want to surrender those false shields and I want to take up the real shield of faith, the only shield that can protect me. If you recognize yourself in some of those false shields we talked about earlier and you go, I want to lay it down so I can take up the only shield that can fully protect me, the shield of faith. Just raise your hand where you are today. Yeah, all over this room. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me just pray for you, and then the worship team's going to come and sing a song to close. Father, I thank you so much for you being the protector of our lives. Thank you for the gift of the shield of faith for us that can fully protect us from all the fiery darts of the enemy. And Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters today. First of all, for those who are struggling with doubts and fears right now, God, would you today help our unbelief? Would you renew and restore and rebuild our faith today? And Lord, I thank you too for the honesty of those in this room who see the false shields that we use. And I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would help us to lay those false shields down, not just in this moment, but day after day. And in every circumstance, in every moment, help us to be your people who are taking up the shield of faith. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. Ask the worship team to come.